Part 1, Section A. I'm going to New York. I've arranged to get a position in a bank there.
But you can't do that. I've counted on you to help me start a lumber business, Ashley, and I counted on you.
Scarlett, I wouldn't be any good to you. I don't know anything about the lumber business.
You know as much as you do about banking, and I'd give you half the business, Ashley.
That's generous of you, Scarlett. But it isn't that. If I go to Atlanta and take help from you again, I'd bury forever any hope of standing alone.
Oh, is that all? Well, you could gradually buy the business, and then it would be your own, and then...
No, Scarlett.
Oh, Ashley, Ashley. Question 1. What does the man want to do in New York? Question 2. What does the woman want the man to do? Question 3. Why doesn't the man like the woman's idea? Section B. 1. The man is going to find a position in a bank in New York. 2. The man knows more about the lumber business than the woman. 3. The man finally accepts the woman's opinion.
Part 2. 1. We admire the progress China has made in such a short time. Your reforms have lifted millions from poverty, offering better housing and better schools. The Chinese people enjoy today a better standard of living, better than any time in history. 2. I don't believe in God. No heaven, no reincarnation. Once it's over, it's over. Once you believe that, it causes you to live every day of your life to the fullest. Every morning I wake up and say, if this is the only day I have left, what can I do to make it mean the most?
Part 3, Passage 1. This is a talk given by Lou Dobbs, president of Cable News Network Financial News and host of CNN's Moneyline with Lou Dobbs. I grew up in Childress, Texas, a town of nearly 8,000, where Dad had a farm machinery business. I hauled hay, picked potatoes, and did other chores, but my father always insisted that schoolwork come first. He may not have had much formal education, Dad left school in the 8th grade, but he possessed a world of knowledge. He was a voracious reader who was smarter about current affairs than anyone I knew. At the dinner table, he pushed me to think and to defend my opinions. These discussions sparked in me an intense curiosity about the world and taught me the importance of attaining the best education I could.
Question 1. Where did Lou Dobbs grow up? Question 2. What did his father always insist? Question 3. What kind of education did his father get? Question 4. What more can we learn about his father? Question 5. How did the discussions at the dinner table of his family influence young Lou Dobbs? Passage 2. This is the second part of Lou Dobbs' talk. It also helped that Dad believed praise was a more powerful motivation than criticism. When I brought home a good report card, he would say, "Terrific work!" And that was enough to inspire me to bring home an even better one next time. This approach proved successful, and when it came time for me to go to college, I was lucky enough to be accepted by Harvard. Honesty was supremely important to Dad, He stressed that an honest life is an honorable life. I always remember him telling me, "Say what you mean, and mean what you say." My father has been gone 30 years now, but he still lives on in me and my children. I tried to raise them as he raised me, and I have wished countless times that he could see us now.
Question 1. Which motivation did Lou's father believe to be more powerful? Question 2. Which university did Lou go? Question 3. What was supremely important to his father? Question 4. When did his father pass away?